Welcome to the Future Construct Podcast, brought to you by BIM Designs Incorporated, where innovation meets construction. Stay tuned as we delve into the latest trends and technologies shaping the future of the AECO industry. BIM Designs Incorporated, your partner in building the future.
Welcome to Future Construct. I'm Mark Oden, the CEO of BIM Designs, Inc. and guest host of Future Construct. Today, I'm hosting Mustafa El Ashmawi, head of BIM and GIS at WSP Middle East. Welcome, Mustafa. Thank you for making the time to join me.
Thanks, Mark. It's my pleasure.
Mustafa, you have an in-depth knowledge of architectural, landscape, and MEP. You've worked as a global BIM manager, worked on many of the most significant construction projects in the Middle East over the last 12 years, delivering, coordinating, and managing BIM, GIS, and CAD deliverables. You've used your knowledge and experience to implement BIM and provide digitization strategies for your organization and clients. You obtain a master's degree in global BIM management and are certified by many respectful information management organizations. You've also acquired a deep academic knowledge of internal standards, methods, and procedures related to information management. With so much experience, you're continually and positively influencing the digital construction market. Thank you for all of your many contributions in the AEC space, Mustafa.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
To kick off the podcast, I'm wondering, with your extensive experience, I'd first love to know how you got your start in the industry. Over the course of your career, the projects you've played a role in, and altered and brought positive change to the industry in the way that you want to see in the industry project management practices change or grow. If we could just learn a little bit about you.
Okay, so it all started before college. I dreamt of joining engineering college for a long time and even had a small fight with my dad to join engineering college, but then once I joined, I chose to join the civil engineering department and focused on structural engineering for a long time. I was amazed by theory of structures, how loads go through buildings and how it's transferred from an element to an element. But then when I was graduated from civil engineering faculty, I worked in the steel structure field for a bit short time. At that part of my career, I worked as a technical office engineer. Also, for a certain period of time, I worked as a site engineer. So during the first 2 years after graduation, I jumped through several positions. I worked for contractors, worked for fabricators, designers. I even worked as an instructor for some software. And during this part also, being an instructor for this engineering software led into me mastering more and more of this software. So being part of the AEC industry, from my perspective, was more of being involved in the digital engineering part of the industry. So I learned many software at the beginning, focused on the drafting and modeling, then started developing these skills further when I understood that there is much larger world called BIM. So at the beginning I was just a Revit professional, but then I started looking at BIM from an information management perspective. I took a master in global BIM management, which helped me a lot in the next steps working for WSP as part of the project management services department. And just before joining WSP, there was a specific incident that happened at one of the projects that drew my attention to the way we manage projects, where I attended a meeting with lots of senior engineers, and many decision makers, and in that meeting we spent around 20 to 30 minutes discussing a very small box of concrete, 3 meters by 3 meters. Everybody was trying to avoid having this in their scope, and then we realized, hey guys, that you are discussing something that that worth nothing compared to the salaries and the hours spent by all of these people in this room. So I thought that if such small box was properly identified in a digital environment or in a BIM model with clear scopes defined, so that specific meeting get me to think more about how we can enable this kind of decision makers and key personnel in projects to manage the project more efficiently without wasting time in discussions and disputes, using BIM as a tool to facilitate this. And yeah, that's mainly what it is for this part.
Well, thank you for that background. I'm very curious about how coming out of that meeting and the positive change that you wanted to bring to the industry, where have you applied the efficient management of BIM to make the best use of everybody's time? Do you have some examples of that?
Yeah, a lot. Where we currently try to always have the digital twin, or I will not call it a digital twin, let's say a digital representation of the project as detailed as needed to support data-driven decision making. So when it comes, for example, to contributing to a project at bidding stage, I always try to have a BIM model that's ready for estimation, so that we can have better quantities, better estimates, cost estimates to apply or to propose the best bid in this project. And if for example we are joining into a design part, I want always to ensure that my BIM models are ready for collaboration, for coordination. So the way that I'm using the digital tools currently is to ensure that there is always a BIM model or a digital model fit for the purpose needed to manage the project. There are many other examples, but I may elaborate on it in a bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. And switching back to work topics, you're at WSP now, which is one of the world's largest engineering firms. What brought you to WSP?
So basically, WSP was a dream for me. Before WSP, I worked for a design and build contractor. I was more of a BIM manager plus a technical coordinator, looking to my technical experience. So I was using all what I learned to support the design and construction process. But I have always looked to WSP as a place where I can develop myself and be more innovative. And the opportunity came when WSP wanted to or posted a job about a BIM manager for a project here in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, as part of their project management services. And at the time when I applied, I passed in the interview, and immediately after joining, I started noticing that I can add not only learn from WSP, but also add from my experience to fill the gaps that's available in the organization related to BIM. So I helped in developing better BIM strategy for the project management services department, and also started to integrate BIM and GIS and to achieve more efficient delivery of the project. WSP in the Middle East operates in 4 different business units. 2 of them are more of design consultants, and one is a project management consultancy, and another business unit, which is advisory. So in my business unit, my role is more of supporting the clients in defining the requirements and also helping the client in supervising the various consultants and contractors and other stakeholders involved in the project. So this role gave me better control on the digital delivery of projects.
Very cool. And how long have you been at WSP now?
Yeah, it's around 3.5 years.
Well, congratulations on your tenure and your growth. I imagine working for WSP and living in Saudi Arabia that you've encountered a number of innovations having worked on massive giga projects. I'd love to hear some examples of some of these cutting edge technologies and methodologies that you've witnessed that have significantly transformed the AEC industry.
Yeah, first thing that I learned in WSP is something we call Future Ready. Future Ready is a program in WSP that's focus on ensuring that everybody in the organization deliver future ready solutions to our client. So when we are designing a project, for example, we need to think that this project will live for hundreds of years. So we want to ensure that this building, for example, will not only serve people that are living now, but their descendants also. So same happens when we are managing a project. We need to ensure that all stakeholders in the project have the same mentality, understand the life cycle of the project to ensure that everything is made to be future ready. And part of the innovative solutions that were introduced, and I'm a very big fan of, and WSP is constantly developing in them, is digital twins. So digital twin specifically is one of my main focus areas. I I'm doing some researches on this topic and also supporting in developing some strategies for this. The concept of digital twin is to ensure that we have a digital twin that's linked with the physical assets, and we have, in the best case scenario, two-way link between the digital and the physical asset. So in that way, we can control the physical asset using the digital twin and also gather data from the physical asset into the digital twin to make analysis and so on. Another tool or technology that I'm involved in implementing in some projects is some applications of the larger world of the metaverse. So I will not say that I have delivered such a complete solution under the metaverse, but many sub projects or many smaller solutions that applies the same concept, where we have a digital reality that can support in either managing the construction process or supporting clients after construction. So these are mainly two technologies that I'm a big fan of and on the same time heavily immersed in. One last thing that I'm usually promoting and supporting is the modular construction, because it's an important concept from my point of view, and it helps a lot in the sustainability of our projects. So having prefab parts of the buildings as much as we can will support in having, let's say, replaceable parts of our building in the future, and also it will enhance the design process. It will help in longer life for our projects.
That's absolutely incredible, and I love that domain and all of those topics. They all intertwine, and you know, they help for a better digital and a physical environment. So I love your focus on that, and I'm very excited to speak with you about some of these large scale projects that you may have experience on in the Middle East. I'd love to really hear about your involvement on these very large mega scale projects like the Red Sea Project and NEOM, which is otherwise called the Line. Can you describe the scale of these projects and really help our audience understand the massive element of this?
Yeah, so specifically these two projects that you mentioned, the Red Sea and NEOM, are really massive. So for example, the Red Sea project is around 28,000 kilometers square, and NEOM is around 26,000 kilometers square. So as far as I know, and I did some small research before another webinar that I was doing about the giga projects in Saudi Arabia, this area around 26 to 28 thousand kilometers square is more than the size of or the area of many countries. Actually, to be more precise, around 50 countries are smaller than this area. So I really appreciate the work done in this project, and I always look about how these huge projects are managed. And just to explain something about NEOM, for example, so the Line is one of the projects under NEOM. So a project like NEOM has around, I don't know how many projects under it, but it have many, many large projects below it. So the Line is one of them. There is Trojina. There is some other amazing projects. And the good thing in NEOM is that almost every district or every part or every project under NEOM has a unique design and a unique intent for use. So the main pattern that you would notice in the Saudi giga projects is that they are trying to make things that we think impossible, they are trying to make it normal, or trying to make it real. So some of these projects have a very long life cycle. So, for example, some of these projects will last in construction for more than 10 years. It will be delivered phase by phase. So you will notice starting 2024, some delivery of these projects. For example, Red Sea is delivering their first hotel during 2024, but still there will be lots and lots of work done for this project through the upcoming years. The main challenge that I can see facing these projects is, for example, logistics coordination, the availability of resources that can deliver all of this huge work at the same time, simultaneously, in or across Saudi Arabia, because NEOM and Red Sea are at the western part of Saudi Arabia, but there are many other giga projects happening in Riyadh and in Jeddah and in other regions of Saudi Arabia. For example, Duraya Gate, Qudiya, and many others. So it's interesting, and it's really something that sometimes I envy myself for being in Saudi Arabia at this period of time, because it's really booming, and it's helpful for the construction industry.
And thank you so much for that context. I mean, just, you know, think about these projects. Each of them are larger than the size of 50 different countries. Is amazing, incredible. And I'm curious. Your goal at WSP is to combine digital twins, you know, with the concept of the metaverse and prepare for modular construction. So, just to combine the scale of these projects. You're looking at creating a digital twin of 26,000 kilometers squared. Is that accurate? And I imagine there's a tremendous amount of complexities with that. Can you speak a little bit to the collaboration of all the different stakeholders and how you're even looking at the process of executing on that work?
Yeah. So firstly, let me explain that WSP is only one consultant out of tens of consultants working on these projects. So almost all the international and national organizations that's related to construction are contributing to these projects. And this is one of also the good things about these projects. It's gathering experience from all over the world to deliver these projects. However, as I mentioned earlier, there are some challenges, and from my point of view, my main priority when I'm involved in any of the largest projects here is to develop a trusted source of truth. So what we lack when it comes to this size of projects is to ensure that the information that we have is correct. And this can't be done without the involvement of technology and information management techniques. So due to the nature of having all of these stakeholders working at the same location, sometimes it's very hard to unify all the methods of delivery, to unify all the standards, methods, procedures for all of these stakeholders and enforce it at one time. So you need to balance between enforcing things that must be done, but also having the flexibility to absorb other solutions and other methodologies. And to do so, instead of having a single common data environment, you need to have an ecosystem for common data environments. So you have several platforms and you need to build an ecosystem that can integrate various platforms, various software. Because, for example, if you go to an architect that's specialized in organic designs and enforce him to use Revit, for example, and leave Rhino or any other solution, sometimes you are taking out the tools from him. So you need to enable him, but do your work in ensuring that whatever the solution he will use, it will be integrated in your ecosystem. So one of the priorities for this project is to have this trusted source of truth. And it can't be trusted unless it's well-defined and well-developed and well-managed also. This will immediately develop a better way for data-driven decisions. When you are dealing with this kind of projects, you need to take decisions, and to be able to take these decisions, you need to have the data always available. So if you need quantities for specific projects, you can't just check the BIM model and then you find that you have some duplicates inside the BIM model, for example. So the quality control process for such digital models that will be and are being developed for these projects need to be on a very high level to ensure proper decision-making process. Another challenge that's facing large projects is the various perspective of the stakeholders involved, even sometimes in the same organization. So even when you are dealing with a client, for example, sometimes we'll find the construction director have different priorities than the digital lead, for example. So even if you have a well-established information requirements, if you don't have an alignment across the teams about what are our digital goals. Sometimes you will have different, these different perspectives will result in bad delivery or late delivery of information, or even delivery of information, but then it's not being used. So this kind of balance between the various perspective of the various stakeholders and various teams in these projects sometimes is a great challenge.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like these challenges can be faced by teams of small sizes and teams of very, very large sizes. So I'm glad that we're all not alone in those challenges. I'm curious, can you share an initiative that you're particularly proud of, given all of your national and international work, and how you see those types of initiatives positively influencing the future of digital construction?
I think the latest one I've been involved in is being NEMA ambassador. NEMA is a great organization that's involved in writing of the international BIM standards, BS ISO 19650, and also an organization that develops information management guidelines like UK BIM framework. So being part of this organization is a great honor for me, and I'm very proud of this. Being an ambassador for NEMA will help me to support the use of these standards and the implementation of these standards in the Middle East in more proactive way. And another initiative that I'm very proud of is being the lead of a glossary called Digitization and Data Glossary. This one was part of CanBIM organization, which is now called Building Transformation. They shifted their name, but this glossary is more about collecting the various terminology used in the data and digitization space, and try to find the best definition that can help all of us to speak the same language. Why I'm proud of it is not about the results we obtained, but about the discussions that I was involved in while gathering this glossary. I was in discussions with various experts from various industries that are part of the larger architectural engineering, construction, and operation industry. And it was amazing to see the same word, how it can have different perspective from various people based on their profession, and then agreeing on the best way to describe things, not only in the context of today, but also in the context of how we want to use this terminology in the future. So, for example, when we were discussing how to define as-built model, that was great, because we realized that today, as-built model is just modeling of the red mark drawings that's gathered from site based on traditional surveys. But what we want as-built models to be is the day-to-day update of what's model, or sorry, of what's built on site. So to have all the changes captured immediately inside the BIM models day by day. So these kind of conversations added a lot to me. That's why I'm really proud of this initiative.
Midway through the Future Construct podcast, it's time to thank our sponsor and producer, BIM Designs Incorporated. With cutting-edge solutions and expertise in BIM technology, they're revolutionizing the way we build. Visit bimdesigns.com to explore how they're shaping the future of construction.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, I can't imagine the complexity of the challenges you're trying to solve. I mean, as you mentioned, just the definition of the as-built model and immediately capturing changes day to day in the model, and the technology that's required just to be able to deliver on that. Shifting over to sustainability, I'm curious about how you've applied sustainability, how sustainability is considered in these mega projects, and what are the obstacles that you often face when having sustainability in mind and combining that with these very large initiatives?
Yeah, from my perspective, one of the main challenges to achieve sustainability in these projects is waste and how to control it and how to ensure it's minimized as possible. So, for example, if we think about the waste of reinforcement rebars, and if you allowed every contractor to cut their reinforcement based on their scope and just deliver it the way they want, you will find a huge amount of waste looking into the amount of construction in such projects. But in these projects, you need to try as possible to unify the way all of these contractors work. And I was aware of some initiatives and slightly involved in an initiative on one of these projects, trying to manage the reinforcement fabrication for the whole projects and ensure that there is a specific process followed by every single contractor involved in the project. So imagine this being applied also on all the other material and all other elements of construction. And when I speak about this topic, the main thing that come in my mind is a publication called Apollo Protocol. It's published through a forum called Apollo Protocol Forum. So the Apollo Protocol is trying to find the link between the manufacturing industry and the construction industry, trying to feed the manufacturers by the sufficient data from construction. So if, for example, manufacturers are aware of the needs for a specific project, they will be able to provide based on these needs instead of having a gap between both worlds. So this kind of initiative can help in reducing the waste in tremendous way. Because imagine that me as a contractor are aware of all the projects, and all of these projects on the same way are built in a way that can fit the needs of my construction. So it builds this kind of glue to fill the gaps between the construction industry and the manufacturing.
Very cool, and thanks for acknowledging the Apollo Protocol Forum. I'm excited to look into that. I'd like to merge together a few different topics here and kind of bring together the everything we've discussed about today, just the challenges that you're facing, the level of scale at which you're trying to solve some of these problems. If we look into some of the technological and digital and managerial solutions that you've had to employ in order to manage such of these large scale projects, we'd just love to hear some tangible thoughts on tools or processes that have led to success for you, especially when we're looking at such mega projects.
Yeah, it's. What I can think of is reality capture. It helped a lot in actually capturing the as-built and the existing condition without the need to have huge teams of surveyors, and also it provide more accurate data and more usable data. So capturing reality, including all the technologies that lies beneath it, including laser scanning, drones, all of these technologies help it a lot in better capturing of information. We even utilize these technologies to calculate the cut and fill for a massive earthwork projects, specifically King Salman Park. We are contributing to it. It have huge cut and fill areas and volumes, and we are using drones to survey this and calculate the data day by day or week by week directly from the platform that we are using. It can also help, or it's helping us actually in delivering better BIM models, because in these kind of projects you can't go and model everything in BIM, because due to these large areas you will have huge project sizes in Revit, for example, or in whatever BIM solution you are using. So sometimes we have integrated delivery that integrate the models and also the laser scans and also some GIS layers. So these kind of integrations helped us a lot in delivering more efficient digital deliverables.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mustafa. And as a final question of the Future Construct podcast and a tradition of our show, if you could project yourself out 25 years and wanted to have any device or technology that would benefit you personally, what would it be and what would it do?
In 25 years, I always imagine myself sitting with my kids or the kids of my kids playing with them, and to help myself after 25 years, I think it will be something related to health. So if it's some device that can enable me to play football with sons of my sons, or some metaverse solutions that can help me do same activities with them, I think that will be the technologies that I need at that time.
I love that. That's fantastic. How touching as well. And I hope to see that for you as well. So appreciate your time today. I feel like there's so much I can learn from you and so much the industry can learn from you. Thank you for all of your contributions, sir.
Thanks a lot, Mark. It was a pleasure being here with you. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a wrap on another insightful episode of the Future Construct podcast, proudly produced by BIM Designs Incorporated. For more on how BIM technology is transforming the AECO sector, visit bimdesigns.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, the future is built on innovation. BIM Designs Incorporated, building tomorrow today.